KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy to cloudy sky, and it's currently 58 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In area news, the Atlantic Community School District's Board of Education will meet this evening in the Media Center at the high school. The board will hold its annual meeting beginning at 7:30, during which they'll handle various administrative matters, including the nomination and election of a board president and vice president for one-year terms, the appointment of a board secretary and treasurer, and setting of the dates, times, and place of school board meetings for the 2014-2015 school year. During the regular session that follows, the Atlantic School Board will act on approving open enrollment requests, contracts for general and special education instructors, letters of assignment, amended contracts and/or letters of assignment, volunteer coaching positions, and any resignations. Action items on their agenda include the approval of the FFA trip to the National Convention and the Spanish Club's 2016 Costa Rica trip, among other matters. In state news, an Iowa City Community School District board member was arrested over the weekend, accused of kicking someone and using a clothes hanger to hit him. Coralville police say 36-year-old Tiet Duro faces a misdemeanor charge of domestic abuse assault. Officers were sent to her home early Saturday morning. Another person at the scene told officers Duro appeared to have attacked the male victim, and the male was holding down Duro so she wouldn't continue her attack. Duro was arrested, but she bonded out of jail later Saturday morning. Iowa landowners want to see the details of a proposed oil pipeline that would carry crude oil from North Dakota across the state to Illinois. Texas-based Energy Transfer Partners said the 1,100-mile pipeline would likely cross 17 counties as it crosses from northwest to southeast Iowa. Energy Transfer Partners spokeswoman Vicki Granato says public meetings will take place across Iowa in December. Landowner Don Krieber agreed to let the company survey some of his farmland in O'Brien County, but he still hasn't heard any details yet. The new Hard Rock Casino in Sioux City reported $7.2 million in revenue during its first month of operation. The Sioux City Journal reports state regulators said Friday the new Hard Rock easily surpassed its predecessor's typical August results. In the past 10 Augusts, the former Argosy Sioux City Casino reported revenue between $3.9 and $5.3 million. Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission Administrator Brian Orelko says the increase is similar to what other communities experienced after older riverboat casinos were replaced with land-based casinos. The newer facilities offer larger gaming floors and more amenities. The early success is good news for the Missouri River Historical Development nonprofit, which distributes 4.25% of the Hard Rock's revenue to local charities. That translates to $304,000 for August. The National Weather Service in Des Moines says a significant storm system will impact Iowa by late Tuesday into Tuesday night. Before then, scattered thunderstorms are possible today through Tuesday morning. A few severe storms may develop along with the initial activity, and we're seeing that around the Sioux City area this morning. The primary system arrives over western Iowa by late Tuesday afternoon. Severe storms are becoming more likely, especially late Tuesday afternoon through mid-evening, with tornadoes, large hail, and damaging winds all possible. In addition, a significant heavy rainfall event is expected and may result in localized flash flooding and significant rises on area streams and some rivers. Much colder air will follow the storm by Thursday night. Early morning lows on Friday and Saturday are forecast to dip into the 30s in some areas. Highs will only reach the 50s to lower 60s both Thursday and Friday. Elsewhere in the news, Iowa troopers say a 33-year-old man has been fatally struck by a train after trying to drive around a railroad crossing. The state patrol says Jesse Froelich was killed Sunday near Eagle Grove. Troopers say two Union Pacific engines were traveling eastbound with no train cars attached when they hit Froelich's truck. The crossing was lit and the drop-down crossing gates were operating when the collision occurred. They say Froelich drove around the crossing guards. The Wright County Medical Examiner pronounced him dead at the scene. The accident remains under investigation. Iowa authorities are investigating the death of a 40-year-old woman at the Maquoketa Caves State Park campgrounds. The Jackson County Medical Examiner's Office pronounced Stacy Lee Sterrett dead on Sunday. She was found dead at the scene. The sheriff's office said she was camping with a male acquaintance who called 911. Authorities say he awoke to find her unresponsive. The sheriff's office is investigating the death. Authorities and volunteers are searching for a missing Iowa swimmer after a weekend search in Marshall County was unsuccessful. The family of 52-year-old Kevin Croner reported him missing Saturday afternoon after he didn't return from a swim in the Iowa River. His vehicle was located in a remote area by the river near Albion. Chief Deputy Steve Hoffman said about 30 volunteers in a canine unit searched for Croner on Sunday. He says authorities focused on the area near a trestle bridge popular with local divers. Authorities probed the river Sunday evening after the man wasn't found on land, and they will continue their search today. Authorities say a 5-year-old and a 19-year-old were killed when an Iowa man's car collided with a semi shortly after the man took his two children in a custody dispute. The accident happened near Clarion Friday evening. That was about a half an hour after a Britt, Iowa woman reported that her husband and another man violated a protection order and took their two kids. The state patrols as 25-year-old Dustin Shackelford was driving with 19-year-old Frankie Miranda and his 5-year-old and 2-year-old children inside when the accident happened. Shackelford was the only one wearing a seatbelt when his car struck a semi-trailer truck. Miranda and the 5-year-old died. Shackelford and the 2-year-old were injured. All a record number of Iowans voted in the 2012 election, and a record number of those votes were cast early, some more than a month before Election Day. As Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports, volunteers for both of the state's major political parties are making a push to find voters, and they're going door-to-door in many neighborhoods.
In 2012, Barack Obama got 130,000 more early votes in Iowa than Mitt Romney did. After losing the battle for early votes for several elections in Iowa, Republicans have vowed to up their game. They launched a weekend of action Friday. Trent Wright, a small businessman from Sioux City, was among those who went door-to-door Saturday and Sunday, making face-to-face contact with potential Republican voters.
Most of them that answer the door are pretty anxious to speak about the issues. Well, there's a lot of people who are frustrated, mad, scared about government, and there, a lot of the people I talk to are anxious to vent a little bit, I guess.
Caroline Kappas, a retired school teacher, was going door-to-door in her hometown of Dubuque for the Democratic Party this weekend.
Voting is how people feel empowered, and so I think it's by canvassing, it's the easiest way to get people to recognize that their voting vote does make a difference.
Democrats started their door-to-door effort in June. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And a vote is expected today on the floor of the U.S. Senate on a constitutional amendment that would give Congress and the states control over political campaign spending. Marge Baker with the People for the American Way says Senate Joint Resolution 19 is needed to stop the flow of big money into politics following related rulings from the U.S. Supreme Court that opened the floodgates.
The goal of this amendment is to undo the damage that the court has done over the years, most recently in the Citizens United case and the McCutcheon case and other related cases that have essentially stripped Congress and the states of the ability to set reasonable regulations over the raising and spending of money on elections.
While support for the amendment has been growing, it faces an uphill battle at best. To be enacted, it must pass both houses of Congress by a two-thirds vote and be ratified by at least 38 states. Those opposed to the proposal are coming from both sides of the spectrum. Many Republicans warn that approval would basically give the government the ability to limit free speech. Others, like Deborah Holly, with Move to Amend Des Moines, said the proposal doesn't go far enough.
It does not actually address corporate personhood. And the corporate personhood issue and money as free speech are the two items that the Move to Amend group have been always trying to abolish. So it's too watered down.
Our news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.